Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Lamentations, the third chapter, page 836 in your Schofield Bible. Lamentations chapter 3, beginning with verse 18, we'll read through verse 29. We'll read these verses responsively. That's page 836. And let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage of Scripture. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. And let's pray. And Father, thou dost have a wonderful purpose for this service. It is thy will that we are here, and we're grateful for all that we've experienced so far. We thank you for the victories of the day. There are yet many who need personal victory in their hearts, and they hunger for thy word and that which thou hast given the preacher to say. We pray that you'd bless now and give us of thy presence, thy power, in special measure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for that solo, Mrs. Hiles. A little hard to hear it because there's a guy hollering over there beside her a while ago, but I appreciate the solo very much. Very rare is the Sunday when I do not preach at least one pastoral sermon. That pastoral sermon is usually on Sunday morning, and then I heal the dead, cast out the sick, and raise the devils on Sunday night. But since this morning was given to evangelism, tonight I'm going to bring a pastoral message. I hesitate to say this because when I do say this, usually Brother Wardway is saying, no, don't say it. When I say it won't be a very long message, it usually becomes the longest of the year. But as far as I can, that's why he saw it coming. No, don't say it. I want to speak tonight on the subject hope, no hope, and a new hope. Hope, no hope, and a new hope. It's amazing how in that little passage of Scripture we read a while ago, we'll not turn to it again, but I do want to remind you of how many there at times you see the word hope, a little cluster of the word hope there. If you did not know it, notice it as you read it, but verse 18, my strength and my hope is perished. Verse 21, which is three verses later, then I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Three verses later, thus the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Two verses later, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Three verses later, he putteth his mouth to the dust, if so there may be hope. This is Jeremiah talking, and Jeremiah had hope and then no hope and then new hope. Our Heavenly Father, bless the message tonight. A lot of our folks are mighty tired tonight, and a lot of those folks who are tired have a good part of the night to work yet tonight because of pastor school. But we need to be fed. I pray you'd help us in these few minutes that lie before us to have a feast in our souls. Bless, I pray, the message, the hearts of thy people. In Jesus' name, amen. Much of the Old Testament, as I've often said from this pulpit, is built around a little 70-year period called the Babylonian captivity. All of your Old Testament prophets, whether they be Isaiah, one of the larger books, or whether they be Haggai, one of the smaller books, or Zephaniah, Habakkuk, all of those are either what we call pre-captivity prophets, or captivity prophets, or post-captivity prophets. For example, the pre-captivity prophets were those who preached before the captivity, warning the people of God that captivity was going to come and God's judgment was going to come if they did not turn from their sins. Then you have the captivity prophets, such as Daniel and Ezekiel, who Esther even, was not a prophet, but one of the books of the Bible took place in captivity. But you have the captivity prophets, such as Daniel and Ezekiel, whose ministry basically was during the captivity. Then you have the post-captivity prophets after the captivity, after the Israelites had come back to the land of promise. And those are men such as Ezra and Nehemiah and Malachi and Haggai and Zechariah and books like that. However, there is one man that is the only man who spanned much of two of those eras. That man is the man Jeremiah. Jeremiah was, for much of his ministry, a pre-captivity prophet, warning the people of God's judgment. Sailors, listen to me now. Hey, sailors, look at me, listen to me. Hey, I'm preaching to you. Look at me now. And Jeremiah was a pre-captivity prophet in that he warned the people of God concerning captivity and the judgment of God if they did not turn from their sins. However, he is one of the few prophets whose ministry extended into the captivity. He it was who ministered to the people who were left in, the very poor people left in Jerusalem, and later, I think, perhaps went to Egypt, and that's neither here nor there. But Jeremiah saw his hopes shattered. He had high hopes as he stood and preached, get right with God, or judgment's going to come. His hope was that through his preaching, the same thing would happen that would happen here this morning when over 1,700 people walked the aisle receiving Christ, and he had hoped that the people of Israel would turn toward God. He had that hope. Then the day came when he had no hope. The judgment of God is going to come. Nebuchadnezzar comes with his mighty army. He levels the walls around the city. He levels most of the city. And Jeremiah sees the rubbles. As he sees the rubbles and the destruction of the city, he sees where the temple used to be. The temple's now gone. He sees where the walls of protection once were. The walls are now gone. He sees the thousands of homes where people once lived, and now they're now gone. And Jeremiah, all of a sudden, has no hope. He goes from hope to no hope. But something happened to Jeremiah. He got to thinking how good God is. And all of a sudden he said, I've got new hope. I've got new hope. He said his mercies are new every morning. He said, great is thy faithfulness. And all of a sudden he goes from hope to no hope and then back to hope. And he has hope. And the very ashes of the old hope bring forth a new hope. Let me say tonight, those of you who've had a hope that has been shattered and destroyed, don't hold on to it. There's no way in the world it can take place or transpire. Don't hold on to it. But grab you a new hope and have a new something for which you can hope. My mama had a hope of a happy marriage. It didn't work out that way. My father turned to drink, and the depression came. And their little store that they owned, a little town called Italy, Texas, went bankrupt. And then my dad turned more to drink. And they had a little 7-year-old child that was taken by death. And that was the first born child. Then the second born child was taken by death. Every hope that my mother had seemed to be destroyed. Then came the day when my father left us and walked over my body, which was kneeling, begging him not to leave, and left us for the last time. That night, my mother came and knelt at the foot of my bed. And she looked up and she said, Dear God,
She told me this later. She said, "Dear God, there's no chance that I can ever be a good wife again. I had a hope that someday I'd have a happy marriage. Now it's all gone. My hopes are shattered." But there on her knees, she said, "God, this boy that's sleeping here in this bed tonight, if you'll call him to preach, I'll make a preacher out of this boy." What am I saying? I'm saying that in the shambles of the lost hope, all of a sudden she had a new hope. Hey, don't go running around here without a hope. I mean, that's against the rules. Have a hope. If you lost hope, grab a hold of another hope. But don't go running around here without a hope. We have a man in this room tonight. I'll never forget it. He worked at the steel mills for over a quarter of a century while he was rearing a boy. And that boy grew up, and this man had one dream. He had a dream that that boy would someday go to a Christian college and serve God full time. And he worked, and that was in his mind. Day after day, he'd go out there in the sub-zero weather with snow on the ground and work in the blast furnaces of the steel mills, one of the most undesirable places to work in the world. And yet he'd do it. But his hope was, someday I'll be able to save enough money as I work here to put my boy in a Christian college, and my boy will serve God full time. There's an old place up here just torn down a few days ago. It was the old Hammond bus station. I went down to the Hammond bus station about 25 years ago, and I was with that man as he waved goodbye to his boy. His boy was going off to a Christian college, so-called Christian college. He is going off to a Christian college, and the man, with his handkerchief filled with tears, he looked at me and put his arms around me as he waved goodbye to that boy. And he said, "Pastor," he said, "this is the dream of my life. This is why I've worked for 25 years at the steel mill. This is why we've sacrificed. This is why we've driven old cars. This is why we've not bought a new house. We've lived in a small house." He said, "This was my hope and my dream, that my boy would go off to a Christian college and serve God full time." He said, "This is the happiest day in my life." After one semester, a bunch of heathen professors who are crooked as a snake ruined that boy's faith in this book. They ruined that boy's faith in soul winning. They ruined that boy's faith in his old-fashioned mama and daddy. They ruined that boy's faith in the book his mama and daddy had taught him. And that boy came home in one semester ruined, and the father put his head on this shoulder here, a broken-hearted man, and said, "Pastor, my hopes of a lifetime have been shattered." I said, "Get you a new hope. Get you a new hope. Don't go running around here without a hope. Get you a new hope." He came back to see me a few weeks later. He said, "Brother Hiles, I've got a new hope." I said, "What?" He said, "I want to be the best soul winner in First Baptist Church of Hammond." And that man, only God knows how many people that man has brought down the aisles in First Baptist Church of Hammond. Why? Because he had a hope. He had no hope. He lost his hope. But brother, he had a new hope. Tonight, you're sitting in this room, and you had a hope that someday you'd have a happy home. Didn't work out that way. You had a hope that someday you'd have a happy marriage. Hasn't worked out that way. Your husband left you for some hussy and left you to rear the kids by yourself. And the hope of your happy marriage has been shattered. Hey, don't go running around here without a hope. Grab your hope. Get your hope that that little boy will be a preacher boy. Or that little girl will be a preacher's wife. Or be a Christian school teacher. Get you a hope. Get you another hope. Don't run around without a hope. If you have a hope, wonderful. If you've lost your hope, then grab a hold of another hope. That's what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah said, "I had a hope that Israel would turn to God. I lost that hope. Look at the city ravaged. Look at the walls level. Look at the holy temple level. And my hope is gone." But he said, "I have another hope. I have a hope that I can minister to these people while they are suffering." And so he did. And he rose from no hope to a hope to another hope and a hope. And I say again, don't go running around here without any hope. My sister who sits in the choir, raise your hand, Earlene. My sister in the choir. 35 years my senior. Give or take a few. One, she had a hope. The hope of a happy home. The hope of a happy marriage. One night her husband did not come home from work. He hasn't been home since. She did not know there was any problem at all. And he was gone. Never came home. I flew to Texas, spent the night one night out in the front yard on Margarita Street, out in the front yard. I said, "Earlene," I said, "you got to rebuild your life now. You got to have a hope. You got to have a hope." I said, "Do something, make something out of yourself." I said, be a church secretary or a Pentecostal evangelist or something like that. You got to have some kind of a hope. You know, be a Florence Nightingale or a Amy Simple McPherson or a Tammy Baker. Yeah, that's right. And sure enough, she chose to be like Tammy Baker. And there she sits tonight, my sister. But now, wait a minute. At the age of 45, her marriage gone, her children grown, living alone, she went to college. She learned to be a church secretary, learned church secretarial work. She became a church secretary in Dallas, Texas. I hired her, brought her up here. She was on our staff at First Baptist Church. And now for 19 years, she's been on the staff. She's a head bookkeeper and bursar at Howells Anderson College and one of the most loved and respected women in this church of the day. How many years have been her name? 25 years. Wrote me a lovely note the other day. She said, thank you for helping me rebuild my life 25 years ago. Not a finer lady in the world than Earlene Stevens, and not a more respected person here in this church. Not only is she the bursar out there, but she speaks across the country. I told you, like Tammy Baker, I told you. And she speaks across the country to ladies' meetings and so forth. What am I saying? I'm saying there's her hope shattered. There's her future plans shattered, her dreams shattered. And all of a sudden, I said to her that night, Herlene, you've lost the hope. Grab a hold of another. Don't go running around here without a hope. Don't you go running around here without a hope. Have your hopes been shattered? Get another one. Have your dreams been shattered? Dream another one. Have your plans been shattered? Plan something else. But keep a hope all the time. I said last Sunday night, I had a hope in my breast that someday our son would pastor this church. It was one of the hopes and dreams of my life. I had hoped that by now he could be on our staff and he'd be preaching some. I had hoped that by now, I'll be 65 in September, and I had hoped that he'd be preaching some now, maybe on a Wednesday night or something, and work in to where when I pass off the scene, that he could take my place. In July of 1984, those hopes were shattered. I mean shattered. He's wrecked his life. Made a mess of a life. If anybody's ever made a mess of a life, he's made a mess of his life. As I said last Sunday night, when I had my little spell, and I wondered, who's going to take my place? You know, and all across the country, people say to me, who's going to take your place? I mean, they got caskets all ready for me everywhere I go. And my obituary has been written by more people than anybody else. And there are a lot of folks trying to see to it that I do die too, by the way. But when I had my little spell down at Bob Jones University, when I didn't forget anything, I remembered something too much. It's too good a memory. I said the same thing over and over and over again. When I got back home, it scared me to death. It did. I had a meeting with this man right here. Took him out to eat. Brother, when I take him out to eat, that's an emergency, I'll guarantee you for sure. And I took him out to eat. I said, Brother John, I said, tell me, what do you think we ought to do about the future of the church? Who do you think ought to be the pastor someday? I mean, I was scared to death. I just knew I was going crazy. And we talked about it at the table. I took this man, Ray Young, with me on a trip to Milwaukee. And we sat there at the table. And I said, Brother Ray, what do you think about the future of the church? Who should take the church? Should we have a man on the staff to take it when I'm gone? Or should we choose somebody from the outside? What should we do? I had a meeting with this man. Took him out to eat. And Ed Lapina. I said, Brother Ray, what do you think about the future of the church? Who should take my place? Who should pastor this church in years to come? I took this man out to eat. And this man out to eat. And I took everybody on our church staff out to eat, and one at a time. And I said, what do you think? And they told me what we ought to do. Who ought to maybe succeed me? And I got to think about that thing. And one day I decided, hey, I know what I'll do. I know who will follow me. I'll follow me. That's what I'll do. I'll follow me. And all of a sudden, I decided I've only lost my mind 4 hours in the last 3 years. That's not bad. I can just rest up during that 4 hours and live it up the rest of the time. I'm simply saying, I'm 64 years of age. I've never had as many hopes as I have right now. Oh, you said, Brother Hiles, you're in battles. Boy, good deal. So was the general. That's what made the guy famous over there. What's that guy's name? Yeah, that's what made Schwarzkopf famous. He's fighting the war. I may get famous someday myself. I've been in a heap of wars myself. I'm simply saying, I'm 64 years old. My dreams are still there. Hopes that have been shattered. I have new hopes. And I'm saying tonight, your hope's been shattered. Just like my hope that my son would pastor this church. It's been shattered. But bless God, have another hope. Don't you go running around here without a hope. You had a hope that someday you'd grow old with him, and he was taken prematurely in death and left you as a widow. All right, get you a new hope. Get you a new one. You heard this? You know, that's the first inkling I've had that you were listening. I mean, brother, on the way home for the funeral, flirt with somebody. Get you a new hope. I got a letter from Michigan 14 or 15 years ago. A little lady wrote me a letter. Her name was Ruth Elaine Bartels. Dear Brother Hiles, I'm a pastor's widow. My husband went to heaven a few weeks ago. I believe in your ministry. I'm wondering if I have no children, no family, no place to go. She said, what I'd like to do is come to your church and spend the rest of my life just praying for you. She said, what I'll do is this. I'll find out where you're preaching and when you're preaching, everywhere you go, and I promise you that I'll be on my face praying for you every moment that you preach the rest of my life or the rest of your life. I got a little apartment back in the back of our church. See that door right up there? That was a prayer room at that time. I gave Mrs. Bartels that room for a prayer room, or she could use her apartment to pray. She came to my secretary's office every week. She found out where I was going to preach, what time zone, whether I was the first speaker or second speaker, what time the service started. I did not preach for one single second for 12 years without that woman on her face praying for me. I mean, she lost her hope. She was no longer the first lady of a church. She was no longer the pastor's wife. And so she lost her hope. But she said, I'm not going to run around here without a hope. Get you another hope. Get you another hope. I had a hope of having a respected name in history. I had a hope that in the history of fundamentalism, my name would be respected. And in many areas, it will be. But the truth is, I will not hold the place in history that I had hoped that maybe I could. Some wicked men have dimmed that hope. But I have a new hope. Now, tell you what it is. I got a new hope to set a bunch of young men on fire for God, like Samson tied the foxes' tails together, and go up and down this country building great churches. I have a hope to see a new wave of old-fashioned fundamentalism. I'm not talking about this rose water and pink tea and lemonade stuff going on in the name of independent Baptist and fundamentalism. I'm talking about old-time religion. I'm talking about mourners' benches. I'm talking about altar calls. I'm talking about soul winning. I'm talking about separation. I'm talking about standards. I'm talking about the old-time gospel. I have a hope tonight. I didn't have this hope 2 years ago because I had never thought about it. But bless God, as the crowd, as fundamentalism deteriorates, and as those that call themselves fun and everything under the sun calls themselves a fundamentalist these days, I have a hope tonight that we can grab a bunch of young people, young preachers, and set them on fire for God and spread them across this country like a prairie fire and start churches and bring this country back to the old-time religion. You see, I lost a hope, but from the rubbles of the old hope, there came a new hope. Now in your life, what are you thinking about right now? What are you thinking about right now in your life? What hope have you had shattered? What air castle's been spattered on the pavement of providence in your life? What dream have you had that you no longer can dream? And you've looked and you've seen the dream shattered and your hope taken and you have no hope. What is it? Let me say this. You look around you. Get you a hope somewhere. Get your Sunday school class and build it. Get your bus route and build it. Invest your life in other people. Have a hope. Jeremiah said, I have a hope that the people of Israel will be spared. He looked and saw the ruins and the rubbles of Jerusalem. He saw the remains of the wall around the city. He saw the temple place destroyed and the houses destroyed and the famine, and saw like a fire the armies of Nebuchadnezzar coming in to level the city. And Jeremiah, that's what the word lamentation means. Lamentation, he lamented the fact how it happened. His hope was gone. Israel will never repent under his ministry. He'll never see the revival he longed to see. He'll never see his dream fulfilled of the people coming back to God. He looks at those ruins and he says, okay, I've lost my hope. But he said, he started thinking about how good God was. And he said, boy, I'm getting me another hope. Young person, you had a hope to walk the aisle pure. That's gone now. Many of you, many cases. But don't go away. Get you another hope. Get you another hope. You had a hope to be a pastor's wife. Your husband came to college. He was going to study for the ministry. But something happened. He lost his zeal. Lost his relationship with God. Drifted away from God. Now he's not going to be a preacher. And the truth is, he doesn't even come to church. And your hope is gone. You'll never be a pastor's wife. Maybe he's done something that will prevent him from ever being a pastor. Okay, so you've lost. Let go of it. Don't hang on to it if it never happened. Let go of it. But grab you another hope. Grab you another hope. You may lose your hope, but don't lose hope. May I say this also, and I've got to hurry because of time. Leave people with a hope. Leave others with a hope. Don't take another person's hope. Don't take another person's hope. Leave people with a hope and with the awareness that you have a hope for them. The wise man said in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's not talking basically about a vision for your life. That's talking about a vision for somebody else's life. If I have no hope for these men, they perish. Hey, you know what the one thing that God has helped me to do, and I don't know how I've done it. I'm not a brilliant man. I'm not a great preacher. But I have rallied around me and chosen the best men in this world to work with me. And I believe with all of my soul, because I've had a hope for these men, I believe they've risen to fulfill that hope. But nothing is worse than for people to lose hope in you. Hey, yesterday, a young man, he's here tonight. Young man came to the office, Dr. Jorgensen, Dr. Evans and I had him at the college administrative committee meeting. He was in some trouble. He came to the office. We talked to him about the mistakes he's making and so forth, and told him he's going to have to straighten up. He might get expelled from school. He said, Brother Hiles, and young man, I will not reveal who this is. Don't worry. He said, could I see you alone? I asked Dr. Evans, Dr. Jorgensen to leave. Young man and I were alone together. He began to cry. He said, Dr. Hiles, I know I've messed up. But he said, Dr. Wendell Evans is my number one hero. He said, do you think I will have another chance? Do you think I'll have another chance? Why, I said, son, of course you'll have another chance. You know what he was saying? He was saying, is Dr. Evans going to lose hope in me? That's what he was saying. Is Dr. Hiles going to lose hope in me? Is Dr. Jorgensen going to lose hope in me? He was saying, do you still have hopes for me? And where there is no vision, that young man will perish. Hey, I've got a hope for everybody in this room. I don't want you to perish. And by the way, as long as you know I've got a hope for you, you'll look forward to having a hope for yourself. But so many people, we lose hope. Somewhere tonight, in America, in a church somewhere, is our boy. Messed up his life terribly. He's clinging to one thing. Does my dad still believe I can make something out of my life? That's all he's clinging to. The family had a meeting. He stood up and made this statement. He said, I hope that someday I can make you proud of me. I have to believe he will. I have to believe he will. If I don't believe he will, he'll perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Life doesn't always pan out like we hoped it would. Life doesn't always pan out like we planned it would. But when the plans don't work out, get you some more plans. I said last Sunday night, I still have hope for the boy. I have hope that someday, not he'll be a preacher, he never will. Not that he'll be a pastor, never will. Not that he'll be on this staff, that's all behind. All those dreams are gone, all those hopes are gone. But I'd like to see him someday walking down the aisle with a plate under his arm, take the offering. I'd like to see him sing bass in the choir somewhere. I'd like to see him maybe someday work his way up to teaching a little boy Sunday school class. Listen to me, folks. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope with people. Don't lose hope. Young people come to my office and say, Brother Hiles, have you lost hope? No, sir. Never have lost hope. Never will lose hope in anybody. As long as there's life, as long as there's breath, bless God, there's hope. Our God is a God of a new hope. That's why He has an acceptable will. When you blow the first one, He says, hey, don't leave. I got another will for you. If you blow that one, He says, hey, don't leave. I've got another will for you. If you blow that one, He says, hey, don't leave. I've got another will for you. What's God trying to do? God's trying to squeeze everything He can out of every life He has, every child He has. Don't lose hope. Get back up and fight again. Get back up and go again. After I'd met with all of my staff members, trying to decide who'd take my place sometimes, I looked at Brother Colston and I pictured him taking my place. What a horrible thought. Looked at Brother Young. What a more horrible thought. Look, Brother Lapina didn't even think about it. But after I'd had that meeting, had a little meeting with myself, went out to the place where I met God, meet God. And I said, now, dear God, let me vote. Will it be Colston take my place? Not on your life. I'll outlive him. Will it be Lapina? Young? God forbid, Moffitt? And I moved back to Durham, North Carolina about 30 years ago when I preached in a morning service. Back on the back row was a little fellow sitting. He was in his 90s. He was as skinny as a rail, built a lot like I am. In the fact that he had two arms and two hands and five fingers. In his 90s, skinny as a rail. He had a Hawaiian kind of sports shirt on. His arms looked like broomsticks with hinges in the middle. Sticking out. He didn't have this massive thing that you see. Hold it, ladies. Don't look. Don't look, ladies. You'll never be satisfied with your husband again. Hold it, fellas. Covetousness will destroy you now. But he's sitting on the back row back there. And I was out in the woods. I really love this. Service ended. I preached that morning. Psalm 8. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of thy hands. And thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And I told that morning how important every individual is to God. When I finished preaching, just before I finished preaching, the old man back in the back with the flowery Hawaiian kind of a shirt on, looked like a shrunk moo-moo, and he stood up. And he began to testify. He said, "Dr. House, could I say a few words?" He stepped up a little bit toward the front and began to talk to that crowd of people. He said, "Folks, I've been preaching over half a century." He said, "I've been looking forward to retiring for years. I'm tired. I'm in my 90s now. Just the other day I got to where I felt like I had enough put away so I could retire. I'm looking forward to going fishing all these years. I'm looking forward to playing some golf all these years and having some time for myself." And he said, "Just a few weeks ago, I got to where I felt like financially I could finally retire from preaching." But he said, "After what that young man..." Oh, for somebody to say that about me one more time. "After what that young man said this morning, he said, I'm somebody with God." He raised his little arms toward the sky like that. Looked like a grape swelled up there on a piece of macaroni. That's a pretty good illustration, wasn't it? And tears began to stream down his old 90-some-odd years' cheeks. And he said, "Brethren, after finding out how important I am to God, brethren, I am re-enlisted." And out in the woods where I meet God, I said, "That old 90-year-old man can re-enlist. I'll tell you, a 61-year-old man can dead sure re-enlist." And I decided to succeed myself as pastor of this church. I have a hope. I have a hope. I have a hope that is steadfast and sure. I have a hope. My dreams are many. Onward, forward, shout out, Hosanna! Christ is captain of the mighty throng. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Yes, sir! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! Have a hope! Are you looking tonight at a shattered hope? Reach out and grab from the rubbles and the ashes of that shattered hope and have a new hope. Have a new hope. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, his eyes were like rivers of waters. Every night he wept and moistened the pillow every night under his head. He had a hope that someday his people would come to God. Didn't work out that way. He lost his hope. And then he thought how good God is. He had a new hope. Get you a hope tonight. Get you a hope. See, I know you. I know you. I look all over this building and I see people whose hopes were shattered. But they have new hopes. I see a little lady sitting over here on my right who came to my office one night and said, "Brother Hiles, I'd like to be a wife someday." Hasn't worked out that way. She's up now, I imagine, in her 30s. I know she is in her 30s. Hasn't worked out that way. The hope that she had of someday being a wife, having her own husband, having her own children, that's pretty well gone now. Pretty well gone. But she got herself another hope. What's that hope? She's invested her life in those little bus kids down there at City Baptist School and in the afternoon program. I'm talking about Pam over here. One of the finest little ladies you'll ever see in your life. There's a lady sitting back there tonight, standing back there tonight dictating to the deaf or interpreting to the deaf. She's probably dictating to them too. Maxine Jeffries. Maxine, a farm gal from Kansas, when she came here, it took her 3 weeks to get all the hay out of her between her toes. And she had dreams like everybody else has had. Maxine, you tell them what I say. Don't you be a false prophet back there. And yeah, she had dreams of someday being a mother. Hey, look at me. Those dreams have been dashed. Maxine's getting up now toward the senior years. She's never had the embrace of a loving husband. She's never had a little child to say, "Mommy, I love you." But she has a hope in those 278 people that came to the deaf ministry this morning. She has a hope. Whatever you do, folks, don't go running around without a hope. get you one tonight. Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from the toils of life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands, some beauty may remain. I'll close with this. If I wanted to tonight, I could throw the biggest pity party in America. I really could. I just may do it. But if I wanted to, I could spend the rest of my life lamenting things I'd hope would happen that will never happen. But I'm not going to do that. I decided to see some things happen I didn't know were going to happen. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Have a hope tonight. You had a hope, it's gone. Gone. Shattered forever. Buried. You stood there and looked at the ruins and rubble and remains of what once was alive, vibrating, vibrant hope. But it's all gone now. Reach down in those ashes and say with Jeremiah, I couldn't keep the people from the captivity, so I'll keep them through the captivity. I couldn't keep them from the judgment of God, so I'll love them in the judgment of God. Our Heavenly Father, I've got to quit. I don't want to quit. These folks knew how long I wanted to preach tonight. They'd faint. But I've got to quit. It's been a long day. Folks are tired. But oh my God, tonight there are a heap of people in this room who've lost a hope. Set a match to dreams and hopes that'll never become realities. They're all in the past. I pray tonight that they'll heed the words of this simple preacher. But not only my words, I pray in some way they'll follow what little example I'm trying to set.